for me. And so we'll go ahead and pick up there where I left off in previous weeks and there on the 28th. So just ignore that date. But Psalm 23, and we'll look at verse number 5, the anointed head. Psalm 23 and verse number 5. Let's go ahead and back up to verse 4. We'll read 4 and 5 together. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's where he left off a few weeks ago. Verse number 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Here in our ongoing study that we've had in Psalm 23, it's important to keep in mind that the events recorded in this passage take place over the entire spectrum, the entire life of the sheep. And so far, we have been on familiar grounds as every need is supplied. The shepherd guided his flock unto the green pastures and along the still waters, as we studied in the spring and early spring months. Then in the summer, we joined the shepherd on the demanding trek through the mountains and the valleys and up in the high timberlands. And now in the high mountains, the high meadow, where everything appears to be perfect, we find literally a fly in the ointment. And this is that place. And, you know, right now, I want you to just help me remember, if I don't mention it, but just remember how we can compare some of these things that are taking place in the life here of the sheep and how they apply to us in the same way. Remember, us being the sheep and he the great shepherd. You see, summertime is fly time. And, Brother Allen, it is gnat time in South Carolina and Georgia. And they are bot flies, there are warble flies, hill flies, not in Georgia, South Carolina, nasal flies, deer flies, and black flies. Along with these pests are also mosquitoes, gnats of various kinds of pests, and there are also, again, those mosquitoes. There are different various kinds of worms and all kinds of other parasites. I can't think of another word to describe Satan himself other than a parasite or a leech who also harasses believers, especially those that are serving. And I'm going to give you a little step on your toes a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. If the devil hasn't messed with you in a while, then I need to ask you, what are you doing for the Lord? Because when we're busy serving the Lord, he's going to harass us a little bit. But then once again, it's a good shepherd that makes the difference when it comes to these pests, these parasites, these flies, these worms, all these things. It's the shepherd that makes the difference. And how does he do that? Number one, by recognizing the problem. By recognizing the problem. And that's another reason to pray for your shepherd, your pastor, that God gives him insight and wisdom in his study time, his prayer time, that God would help him recognize problems before they surface. Or recognize them when they do. You know, sometimes with raising a family, sometimes it seems like dad's the last to know. Sometimes the pastor is the last to know. Sometimes he's the first to know. See, notice letter A, the problem of little pests. For sheep, it's bad enough that flies and other bugs are around. But parasites are never content just to hang around. Kind of sounds like old Satan, doesn't it? These little bugs have one goal in mind, and that is to disrupt the peaceful existence of the sheep in every possible way. And once again, a lot like Satan. The nasal fly, it seeks to deposit its eggs in the wet mucous membrane of the sheep's nose. Again, we know that phrase, batty. We'll get to that in a few moments. After a few days, the eggs hatch in a larva that are similar to tiny skinny worms are there. They will crawl up into the nasal passage of the sheep's long snout and into his head, burrowing its way into the flesh and literally driving the sheep batty. And that's why it's so important for the shepherd to be prepared with the medication, with all the things he needs, where to go to get it, to take care of those sheep. And the wise pastor and his people pray for their pastor will do what he can to pray and to study and to feed and to nourish and to strengthen and to challenge his congregation. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 tells us, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That leads to letter B. Not only the problem of little pests, but the problems of little sins. Here's a problem. We put that label, big sin, little sin. Sin is sin in God's eyes. But yet we tend to want to label. But it is, if we have to call something little, it's those little things that pile up that could cause big problems. You see, in the lives of God's people, it's usually not the big things that cause us the biggest problems. It's the little things, the nagging sins that cause difficulties in our life and the life of our family. And it sometimes spills over into the church family. It's when they are the smallest that they do their most damaging work. And left unchecked, not dealt with, the little sins grow into uncontrollable monsters that wreck testimonies and wreck lives. I am confident, and didn't even think about it until just now, I am confident the problem I'm having with this, my foot and this bone spur, whether I get under control or not, is because for a while there I was walking with shoes that didn't fit right. Didn't have the support and didn't have the heel support. I just thought of that. And I'm wondering if that little thing of saying, well, you know, they're new, they're a little loose, but you know, they look good, they're somewhat comfortable, and I just kept walking and kept wearing them. It's a little thing. Another little thing. True story. Years ago, Michelle and I were traveling to a meeting in Tennessee. It was getting late, and we had a little more time to get back to Tennessee, and the hour was getting late. We thought we were going to have to stop to find us a place to rest. And we stopped and found us a place to rest, went into the hotel, was to get a room, and we found out that we were in Kentucky and not Tennessee. See what happens, two pages on the map stuck together. That was the second problem. The first problem is I was a driver and Michelle was the navigator. That was one of their problems. She's not in here, so I'm safe. So those pages stuck together. She'll remember this because we laugh about it. And we ended up literally thinking we were checking into a hotel in Tennessee and we were in Kentucky. The good thing is that we weren't too far out of the way, that we were able to get back on track by sleeping a little less, getting up a little earlier, and getting back on the road to make up some of that time. But it's the little things that if we ignore them, that can become large things. And that's why that shepherd has to be on guard with his flock to make sure he's taking care of every little detail so that it doesn't become a big problem. And we as well need to take care of the little things in our life that they don't turn into big things and cause problems. Psalm 1 in verse 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's one thing that will help us. This little thing of walking where we should be walking, being with the other men and women we should be with, staying away from sinners, staying away from the temptation, staying away from those things that could cause problems, those little things could go a long way, but when we ignore them, they become very big. We should realize and understand it is not our responsibility always to be there to pick the other one up to get them out of sin. Folks, if you hang around it long enough, and if you're not careful and keep up with the reading of the word and up, iron sharpened iron with other believers, you're going to get pulled down as well and not pulled up. It's okay to help a brother. It's okay to try to minister to someone who needs the Lord. But we need to make sure there's that balance of also of the accountability that we need to make sure that we don't drift as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Notice that little word in front of appearance. All appearance of evil. We need to be very careful what we associate or are involved in. We must recognize the problem of little things so they don't become big things. So the good shepherd makes the difference by recognizing the problem, and number two, by applying the remedy. Okay, recognize the problem. Now, what good would it do for me as pastor to know that there's problems in a church and then not address them? And not say, okay, look, I need to be proactive here. Maybe there's something I need to teach on. I need to pull brother so-and-so aside. I need to talk to Michelle, maybe one of the ladies, to pull sister so-and-so aside. We might encourage them and remind them because there is a remedy for sin. First of all, it's repentance and doing what's right. And that's why we live in a world today with so many churches imploding because a pastor doesn't want to be confrontational. Can you think of anything in the Bible at times that cannot be confrontational? The Bible is confrontational. I don't like confrontation. But the bottom line is, if I'm going to be a responsible shepherd, I'm going to have to confront some things when and if they pop up. If I ignore them or push them off and just, well, man, I'm going to go over here and put my head in the sand, and if I don't see it, it won't see me. No. It's just, it can't be an ostrich. You've got to recognize it's there and to deal with the situation. And if that shepherd goes up into the high mountains to reach those other valleys and peaks for the sheep during that season that's needful, if he does all that work to get them there and then doesn't take care of the parasites that they may have gained to get there, it won't do any good to enjoy the lush grass and the cool waters if they're sick. And we have a churches today across our nation, across the world, that are spiritually sick and anemic. We have churches that are full of people that don't know their Bible, that don't know the Word of God. Now, there's nothing wrong with not knowing. The problem is if you don't want to learn and to know. Because we all have to start somewhere. And not knowing, not learning, is where it begins. And those little things become big things, applying the remedy. Letter A, the need for relief. When the parasites begin their despicable work, the sheep will do anything it can to get relief. Now, poor Miss Michelle has been just itching over that surgery scars, three of them, that are healing and getting better. So that means that itch, it's like, oh, it's itching. You know, Benadryl didn't help. But it seems like those ice packs seem to do the trick until she eventually falls off to sleep. There are going to be some things that cause, and we're going to seek relief. You know, some of these sheep may even try hiding for the swarming flies and heavy brush, just trying to get away. And they may even try beating their heads against the tree. When I read this, I thought, you got to be kidding. But beating their head against a tree to silence the deafening buzz going on inside their head. Ever had an itch or a headache or a buzz or something where you just felt like, man, if I don't get relief, I don't know what I'm going to do. I remember when I dropped a manhole cover on my foot and my big toe was as big as my foot. I was like, cut that thing off if it ain't going to get better. You know, but it did. But that desperation, and that's why it's so important for the application of the remedy. And that is that need for relief. And even Christians who are battling and struggling in the world, when they come with a heavy heart and knowing they're battling with Satan and things are difficult and they know they need something, when they come to the house of God, they should know this is a spiritual pharmacy. They're going to get the ointment that they need, the encouragement, the challenge, or whatever it may be. But we can't be like the young lady from Kentucky that was part of our church in Germany some years ago, that said, preacher, I won't be back. Her husband was deployed. He was a fighter, combat aviation. I'm going to bang my head against the pulpit here. And she said, I just can't stand it. I get under conviction every time I go to church. So her remedy was, I'm not going to come back. I said, sister, you know the best way to solve that is get it right. Here's her answer. But I don't know if I want to quit doing that. So she knew the particular sin the Holy Spirit was convicting her about. She knew, because she said, I don't know that I want to give that up. And I looked at her and I looked at her four boys and said, they need you to. They need you to. Folks, the shepherd applies the remedy, the relief that is needed, but we have to also be willing, just like the sheep, to receive the treatment, the ointment that is needed. But for here as we continue, some sheep, as I've read here, where they even will try to kill themselves in order just to get rid of the persistent insects and the batty feeling they're feeling just to escape. But for the sheep, there's only one hope for relief, and that is found in the person of the shepherd. Banging their head, getting in the brush, killing themselves is not going to bring any relief. It's the shepherd referring to it, it's his quick action at the offset of fly season that can avert the disaster among the flock, treating and providing the remedy before the sin sets in, before the flies come in. And for us, it's before, so that when we're, was it Proverbs? Sinners entice thee, consent thou not? We need to be forewarned and prepared so that when sin does come along, we're ready, we've applied the ointment, I've been in the Word, I'm prepared as I go through this world. The shepherd literally anoints the head of a sheep with some type of concoction of linseed oil, sulfur, tar, and other ingredients to help his sheep. And almost immediately when he applies it, he'll notice a dramatic change in the flock's behavior. With the distractions gone, the discontent and restlessness will be gone as well. Folks, I don't know about you. I've been stressed. I've been wound up and felt like, oh man, how am I going to get any sleep? How am I going to get anything done? And I can remember knowing, no, if I could just give this to the Lord and let him have it and just trust him that if it's there tomorrow, he'll help me through the day. I've been able to lay down and get a good night's sleep. It's when I want to pick it up and wrestle with it and rehearse and rehash all through the night that I don't get my rest that I need. But I have to allow the ointments, the indwelling, the comforting of the Spirit to help me through these difficult times. With the distractions gone, as I mentioned, the discontent and restlessness will be gone too. The sheep will once again be able to feed and rest in quiet contentment. Dear friends, relief from all of our troubles are provided by the shepherd. All those fears, if we could just give it over. And I've got a series that I'm working on and have preached before, but redoing it on worry. And I've got my own, anybody have a TV tray at home? You know, sometimes you sit down on a TV tray. I've got a worry tray. I do. I've got a worry tray. And when I realize, Michelle will remind me once in a while, where's your worry tray? Well, things are bothering me, and she knows I'm going to say, goes, where's your worry tray? And I'll literally get up physically, walk over to where it's at, and said, you know what? You're right, sweetheart. I'm so glad the Lord gave me you as my wife. And I'll just literally, in my mind and physically, though it's nothing in my hands, just put it there and walk away. But here's the problem with most of us. You sure you got it, Lord? It's kind of heavy. We want to go back and pick it up. And it's the same way with the sheep. They have to allow the good shepherd, the shepherd that cares for them, to take care of them so these worries and concerns and the battiness and insects and the parasites can be dealt with. The need for relief. Let's move on. Psalm 23:2, and then we'll go to the next part. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He provides. Letter B, the hope for rest. Boy, I tell you what, my worry tray has taken on new meaning since the Lord showed me that, and I do use it as needed. It gives me great hope knowing that I can leave it there and I can walk away. For believers, we live in a world that is plagued by parasites. Some of them are the world's doing, but some of them we bring upon ourselves. And we have to make that decision. And if it is the Lord, or if it is us bringing it upon ourselves, we know how to deal with it. If it is the world, we also know we can go to the... Either way, we know we can go to the Lord to take care of either of the case. We don't have to argue in our own mind which one it is. Just accept it and say, Lord, help me. But in either case, as I've mentioned, whether it be of the world or whether bringing it upon ourselves, the answer to the unrest and the answer to the lack of contentment is found by the shepherd's application of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Do we allow the Holy Spirit? Do we allow the Comforter to do what only He can do in our lives? Or do we resist? I went down to the pharmacy to pick up some medication for Michelle, and I talked to her ahead of time, and she said, well, I don't need that because I have a bad reaction. The doctor's made a mistake. We'll call him later and see if they'll change it. So I went down. I wanted to make good and sure that I got the right ones and didn't pay for something we weren't going to use. But the biggest point of not just leaving behind what I didn't need, but making sure I brought with me what I did need. And dear friends, there's nothing the Lord has for us. Everything and anything the Lord has for us, we need. And some days we need larger doses than other days. There are some days we need just a little more, just like our children and our grandchildren. Use mine, for example. Little Jovi, when she has a little boo-boo and she's crying a little bit and she runs, I happen to be the one standing there, she'll run and jump up in Papaw's life, a lap and say, show me her boo-boo, and I'll look at it, I'll kiss it, and say, sweetheart, it'll get better before you get married. Oh, okay. And she'll jump down and go play. But now Thea will need a good 10 or 15 minutes, and she'll stay right there because she knows she'll get comforted. She's comfortable. Papa's going to love me and take care of me. I'm just going to sit in his lap. You know, there's some days I go to the Lord and I can talk to him and I'm through and I can go and I'm good to go. But there's some days I just dwell a little longer. And I'm so glad that he has all the time in the world for me to do that. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Romans 5:13, 14, and 15. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Don't make the same mistake that so many believers make, and that is that this Holy Spirit is a once and for all filling. See, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, is something that we need every day. Yes, the Holy Spirit dwells with me as when I trust Christ as my Savior. But the difference of being Spirit-led and Spirit-filled in our daily walk is something that we need daily. Lord, help me. Lord, guide me. Lord, I yield myself to you and allow him to work in us and through us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is a renewal that takes place in the mind and in the heart. Two places. Heart problem can keep you from ministering the way God wants you to minister. A heart problem can keep you from serving others in the way that God wants you to serve. It's and also an attitude of the right mind. And dear friends, we're not careful, it results this attitude of the mind and this renewing day by day will give us the peace of God that we need and the kind of thinking that we need to glorify our Heavenly Father. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Say, look at it again. The peace of God, how are we kept? In our hearts through Christ Jesus. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are true, I've laid my worry tray down over here, laid it right down. It's the right thing. It's a truthful thing. I'm going to leave it there. I want to walk away and the devil wants to tell me something. I'm believing a lie when I look back. Whatsoever things are true, here it says here, the truth. And so often, if we're not careful, we believe the lies of the devil. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And that's where, if we're not careful, we could have a problem. Or we can look at it and realize that the hope of my rest in Christ and this chaotic world of parasites is in Christ. No matter what's going my way, I can always say, Lord, I'm leaving this right here on my old worry tray. I'm just going to leave it. And I'll do it one more time, we'll be through. But too often we want to... Did I get it all in there? I want to make sure it's all in, all of it. I want it all in there because I want to walk away and say, Lord, it's yours. And folks, if we belong to him, and we do if we trust in Christ, that means all of our problems do as well. Leave it with him. Take your burden to the Lord and what? Leave it there. And if we're going to live the type of life that the Lord wants us to live, I really believe with all of my heart, that victorious Christian life, we need to realize that our heads are anointed as needed when we come to the great physician, our shepherd, to take care of the parasites, the difficulties, the sin, the problems that we're having. But we need to allow him to apply the ointment. And we need to know where to go to get that ointment. It's in the Word of God. And it's here. Before I close, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago,
I was in church, and right after the service, a gentleman came and said, "Pastor, me and my wife, well, she wants to talk with you, but I'm her husband, so I'm going to go too." And I could tell that he was a little tweaked, and not with me. And then so we fellowshipped a while. They hung around, and we went to the office, and I closed the door, and I sat down. And his wife looked at me and said, "Were you preaching to us the last couple Sunday nights? Were you?" I mean, she was just point blank. And I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "It's like you knew." And I said, "Knew what?" She looked at her husband. Her husband looked at her, looked at me, and said, "Preacher, I'm here because she wants to be here. I know the answer." And she goes, "Pastor, how did you know? Somebody tell you?" And I called her my name and said, "Sister, I have no idea what you're talking about. But I do know what the Lord shows me as I study and as I pray. And I promised this church when I became their pastor, and I just like I hope to, and if I promised here and hope to continue, that I will not shy away from anything that I feel the Lord has showed me clearly in Scripture of the ointment that needs to be applied for the sheep of the congregation that God has given me." And when I told her, I said, and I called her by name, I said, "I promise you, your husband didn't say anything. Two teenage girl and a teenage boy that loved their preacher to death, they did not say a word." She looked at her husband. He looked back at her and said, "Pastor, forgive me." And he looked at his wife and says, "I told you what he would say." But, and then I just jokingly said, "So do we need to go ahead and carry on with some marriage counseling? Or are we okay?" And the husband said, "No, Pastor, we're okay. It's already been dealt with. She just couldn't understand how you knew. As a new believer, she was German, he was American, she was saved a few short years, he had been saved longer, out of church a while, but got back in, his wife got saved as a result of it." Folks, I can't explain it. So if I ever ring your bell, I promise you, nobody told me but the Holy Spirit. Brother Darrell?
I was 34 years old, and I told my wife I would never set foot in the Baptist church. And I agreed to go, but the long story was that. But I ended up in church that particular Sunday. And the message was over, we got back in the car. And Margo said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Margo, I'm so angry with you." And she asked me why. And I said, "Because you had to have a conference with him before I got there. Because everything that I know is guilt on my part, he brought up in that message today. And you are the reason, and I didn't talk to her the rest of the way."
Yeah. Our Holy Spirit has a wonderful sense of humor. And we either respond and say, "Thank you," even though it may hurt, or we stiffen up and we rebel a little longer. Either way, the results are similar. One is it hurts to swallow your pride, get it right, and address the Lord, or we drift on down the way and it hurts a little more, sometimes a whole lot more, than when we come back and do what we know that we should do. So just like my wife tells me all the time, quit telling me you have a headache, go get some medicine for it. You know you're hurting, you know the Lord is dealing with you, you know Satan's attacking you, the parasites are there, go talk to the great physician, ask him to take care of it. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, the blessings, and joy of fellowship. Lord, thank you so much for the anointment that you apply to our heads as needed, to our life, to our bodies, to our soul, to our spirit. Help us to be ever sensitive to thy sweet Holy Spirit and to the great shepherd that you've given us. Father, help me to always be the shepherd that you would have me to be, that I might love, lead, encourage, and Father, and help our congregation and our community, not just our congregation, but our community. And as a result, we might see others come to know Christ. Lord, now bless us with your love as we dismiss. Give us safety as we go about our work week. And Father, give us a blessed Lord's Day on Sunday. And once again, we'll thank you for all that you do. We ask in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, Lord bless you. Love you, folks. Appreciate you.